The world is going through changes. Changes happening at a speed that we have never seen before. This is leading to disruption, chaos, panic, fear, hysteria, and a turbulent economy and marketplace. How do you protect your wealth in a turbulent world? How do you invest for cash flow and alternative assets to escape the rat race in times of uncertainty? How do you decentralize yourself, your family, your community, your business, and your investments to become sovereign and escape the matrix? If you are looking for strategies, tactics, and techniques to escape the rat race and matrix, you are in the right place. My name is MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I am MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. If you are a regular listener or a new listener, here are five ways I can help you right now. You could go to cashflowninja.com and listen to all of my podcasts. I've recorded over 1,000 podcasts with the best minds in business and investing. You can download all of my books in which I share the best alternative asset investment niches. You can watch our free trainings on infinite banking, Midas banking, Bitcoin life insurance, strategic metals, and more. You can subscribe to my weekly newsletter, which is free, The Wealth Dojo, in which I share the best insights on alternative wealth strategies and alternative asset investing you will find anywhere. And finally, you can join our community, The Wealth Dojo, and get access to the best training, strategy, and community in the alternative wealth strategy and alternative asset investing space, period. I've got a fantastic show for you today. I'm joined by Zach Townsend. Zach, great to see you.
Great to be here.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this. Looking forward to this conversation. I like to bring unique ideas and strategies to my audience in the alternative wealth strategy and alternative asset investing space. So this is definitely, if you're looking for something unique, this is definitely going to be one of those episodes. But before we dive into that part of the conversation, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey just for my listeners and my viewers and what you're up to these days?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a sort of a fintech entrepreneur by background. So I moved out to San Francisco in 2013. I was an early employee at Stripe, the now giant credit card processor. And then I decided to build sort of a financial infrastructure company. So we provided software solutions to fintechs like Stripe and like others. And that company called Standard Treasury. We were backed by Y Combinator, the well-known startup accelerator, and Andreessen Horowitz and Index Ventures and others. We ultimately sold that business to a super regional bank where I worked and sort of continued building and managing that product. And then I did a stint in government service after that as the first chief data officer of California, which gave me a lot of insight into regulation and how regulators and sort of government folks think. And then it's a long story, but my wife got pregnant and she was starting a startup. She had like two startups at once, I joke. And then so I needed to get like a real job. So I actually led fintech and did some insurtech work at McKinsey and Company, the big consulting firm, for 3 years or in North America. And then where this business came from is, you know, my co-founder, Max Gassner, he and I have been old friends since 2009. Really, like every 6 months or so, we get together. We try to talk about, like, is now the time to start a business together? And ideate some things. And, you know, this was the company we've built now really came out of that. We We were thinking about some things in life insurance. We think life insurance is still ripe for disruption. I think there's a lot of stuff to make products simpler, you know, really think about customer value. At the same time, we were thinking a lot about crypto and the ways in which crypto can also be in its best form. Obviously, I think there can be some bad things in crypto, but particularly Bitcoin, you know, we think it's a long-term store of value. There's going to be a Bitcoin economy. And that really came together in our minds sort of, you know, I don't know like exactly how, like they were really two separate ideas. And then I woke up in the middle of the night one day, like literally like 3 a.m. and I was like, oh, there should be a Bitcoin life insurance company. And then we were sort of off to the races. It was an idea that just seemed so powerful to us, both for what it could mean for life insurance and for what it could mean for the Bitcoin economy.
So you're bringing together two worlds there, right? And it's like, obviously the Bitcoin economy and the Bitcoin standard is out there and that's growing. And I think a lot of people are starting to see that power. And now as more and more institutions adopt it, the price volatility is going to slow down, you know, for a little bit. It's going to become more stable. So you have that part of it. And then obviously a lot of people around the world are worried about fiat currencies. And then the other thing is you have an infrastructure and a system which is going to need a lot of different services, right? And we've seen in the crypto space, it's been interesting, fascinating to see some of the businesses that have been launched there. So you've had like the decentralized finance kind of like build out and NFTs. And then there's also a ton of companies in the tax space, which is if you're an entrepreneur starting a business, a tax business in the crypto space, that's probably not a bad play too. And then also, you know, solving the problem of estate planning with regards to crypto. It's like, what happens to your crypto when you pass away? So there's been a lot of entrepreneurs doing that, estate planning and family contingency when it comes to crypto holdings and so forth. How's it transferred from one generation to another? And this is fascinating to see what you're building with your team, because it's sort of a company that you're building for the future, right? 5 to 10, 15 years ahead, because you're going to eventually need something like this in this space as it's gaining more adoption, right?
Yeah, that's all right. I think everything you mentioned, right? So I guess let me tell you a little bit about what we've built. So we have a life insurance company in Bermuda, and you said the Bitcoin standard. So I think we're maybe the only company in the world. I'm not certain of that, but I think we're the only company in the world that actually operates truly on the Bitcoin standard. So what I mean by that is, like, we state our financials in Bitcoin, you know, our audits in Bitcoin, our reserve calculations, our solvency calculations. People pay us in Bitcoin for premiums. We pay claims in Bitcoin. So the company operates entirely in Bitcoin. And what's nice about that, you know, you mentioned volatility. Well, of course, that volatility is relative to the dollar or the euro or whatever. Yep. So our company doesn't experience that volatility, right? You could just think that, like, quarter over quarter, like, we're selling life insurance policies, you know, we have premiums, we have some investment earnings, and then we you know, our balance sheet's just, like, you know, growing over time. And if Bitcoin is at 15,000 or 50,000 or 75,000 or, you know, back to 30,000, it doesn't actually matter the core mechanics of the business. And then with that, that, like, built on this, like, just like denomination and actual standard of being in Bitcoin, we try to operate a very boring, conservative life insurance company. You know, the way we really presented it to our regulator is, you know, the company could be in dollars or euros or yen or Swiss francs, in its operations. But we're doing it in Bitcoin. But that, like, simple change, as you said, really allows a sort of whole world of opportunities. And that's, you know, on the one hand, I think you're absolutely right. People who are concerned about fiat currencies, like we think and talk about, you know, there were 57 countries in the world last year that had inflation rates over 10%. You live in any one of those countries, we think in the medium term, you should absolutely have your life insurance policies, your annuities, or at least portion of your life insurance annuities denominated in Bitcoin. Because it's, if you look out 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, having this currency that's stateless and it's global and it's decentralized, that is probably a more durable store of value than, you know, the Argentinian peso has been over the last 50 years. And obviously different people have different opinions about how good the dollar is a store of value. So, you know, I think some of these arguments can persist for us. Persist for other fiat currencies too. And the second thing is also exactly what you said, is like, we see our job as, being the people who can bring this entirely new asset class into life insurance land. So life insurance is basically in every country that has taxes, life insurance tends to have, and annuities tend to have tax advantages. So for our policies, we make sure to design them to comply with all the tax rules. In the US, that's it's the Internal Revenue Code, Section 7702. It's all these, nitty gritty rules about what is and isn't life insurance. So we comply with all those to make our policy life insurance. And then, it's a dead simple whole life product. You know, I think you might have questions about that. But what's nice about it is you're getting the benefits really of normal whole life, which is like, accumulated savings in the product tax free, the protection from the first day you pay a premium, for your family, your loved ones. And you're getting the ability to take a policy loan, in our case, in Bitcoin. So if the price of Bitcoin goes up a ton over time, or the relative price of Bitcoin in dollars, then you can take a policy loan out and not have any capital gains from when you went into the policy. So it has all the tax and estate planning benefits of a traditional dollar-denominated whole life product. Just like now in Bitcoin, all based on our ability to have created this regulated, licensed, Bitcoin-denominated insurer.
I am super excited to announce that I have launched the Cashflow Ninja Niches Book Trilogy. Three books: the 21 Best Cashflow Niches, the 21 Most Unique Cashflow Niches, and the 21 Best Cash Growth Niches. In the three books, I feature a total of 66 different alternative asset investment niches. You know what's the best part? I'm giving it all away for free. When you go to cashflowninja.com, you can download the 21 Best Cashflow Niches, the 21 Most Unique Cashflow Niches, and the 21 Best Cash Growth Niches in digital and audio format for free. If you're like me and you like physical books, you can buy all three books on Amazon. Just go to cashflowninja.com/Amazon and it'll take you to all three books. I want to thank every single listener from the bottom of my heart for riding along on this journey with me since 2016. So our audience and listeners and viewers, they're familiar with using a whole life product as a warehouse of capital, right? And funding premiums. And then obviously with the standard product that's out there in North America, especially United States and Canada, builds up cash value and you're able to establish set up a line of credit using the cash value as collateral, mm-hmm. and then get a policy loan and then use that. And obviously this has a lot of great benefits. The reason why people do this is the premiums that are paid are It's after tax dollars. So the money goes into the policy. You did not deduct, take a tax deduction on that, like with all the other qualified plans. So it's after tax dollars. It goes into the policy. You buy the life insurance policy. So there's a life insurance element, but there's also a portion that goes towards the savings that's guaranteed. It's guaranteed to grow tax-free. There's some dividends that's then distributed if they're distributed from the insurance life insurance carrier, which is also tax-free. The death benefit goes tax-free again, depending on the size and the estate tax exemptions. But for the most part, the life insurance death benefits goes tax-free to the beneficiaries. And then, of course, that line of credit, because you didn't cash out a policy, same way that you wouldn't sell a stock, that line of credit is a loan, so that's also tax-free. So there's a lot of tax benefits. So when you were mentioning that, so just to summarize, it's a company that's based out of Bermuda. So it's an offshore life insurance policy, which you can buy in North America. So you can buy that life insurance policy. And it's a whole life, which is a 10-pay. If I share this with our audience and our listener viewers, they'll understand that. So it's for 10 years you pay into this whole life policy in Bitcoin. The Bitcoin then accumulates inside of the policy tax-free. The death benefit is tax-free. And then you can establish a line of credit using the Bitcoin as collateral. So you're not selling the Bitcoin in the policy. It's a loan, but in Bitcoin. So there's no taxable event there. If you convert the Bitcoin into, you know, the let's just say fiat at that stage, that's probably where you want to speak with a CPA and a tax strategist to figure out
the situation. I guess I should say on everything you just said, you should talk to a tax professional. We are a life insurance carrier, not your lawyer or your tax professional. But I think in general, everything. The way the product's been designed is if it's a benefit, a benefit of a dollar policy, it's true in Bitcoin. And then that last one, the way our understanding of the policy loan is, you know, let's say you've put one Bitcoin in a year for 10 years. So that's a 10 pay, one Bitcoin a year for 10 years. You put 10 Bitcoin in, you know, you, first off, I just want to say the yields in Bitcoin were very conservative. So the payouts aren't going to feel on a ratio basis as big as you might get in a traditional policy, right? So if you put $10 into a normal whole life policy, I don't know, you might expect 30 or 40 or something out. So anyway, you put a 10 Bitcoin in, we might promise 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, depending on your age, your gender, how healthy, you know, normal life insurance stuff. But that's all. The heart of that is that you know, we're churning Bitcoin into more Bitcoin, right? So you pay the one Bitcoin a year for 10 years, and let's just say we've guaranteed payouts 15. So the first thing is to get from 10 to 15. Yeah, that's accumulating tax free. And then if you take a policy loan out in the future, you know, the value of Bitcoin, I don't know what it is today. It's in the 60s. You know, it might be 600,000 or 6 million or who knows what it's going to be in 10, 20, 30, 40 years. You borrow a Bitcoin from us, that's a new tax basis Bitcoin. So if you want to liquidate that, then, you know, you would get all that dollar value between now and that liquidation time tax free. And just like a normal whole life policy, you sort of already said it, we don't really expect that you are going to pay the loan back. It's netted against your death benefit at the end. So, you know, if you're promised 15, you're in policy year 13, you borrow one out, we wouldn't actually expect you to pay back that loan. It's just that your death benefit would be less than it would have been. Well, I'm sorry, your estate's death benefit would have been less than it would be otherwise. Anyway, I hope that all makes sense. I think the products are, in some ways, it's very simple because it's directly analogous to whole life. But whole life isn't necessarily the easiest product in the world to understand either.
Right. And I mean, it's a product that's been around here in North America, I don't know, 150 plus years.
Oh yeah. I like to say we're running a life insurance company from the 1830s. It's just in Bitcoin.
Right. So it's not a shiny new design product. It's just the exact same product design. It's just denominated in a different currency, just as you would buy a life insurance policy in a different country in a different currency, right? So that's all it is. The mechanics, the setup, the operations, all that stuff is the exact same.
Yeah. And you, similarly, we allow people to, in the US, frequently called a premium deposit account, so you can prepay if you want. In Bermuda, the word deposit is really reserved for banks, so we call it a premium prepayment account in Bermuda. But so basically, again, we're not really in the business of giving tax and estate advice, but our users do all the normal things that they do. You know, they might want to prepay, they might not want to prepay, they might want to have a trust be the owner, they might want to have the estate be the owner. Like people are optimizing and designing the tax estate protection plan that makes sense for them. And then we sort of facilitate that by being a carrier that has this product that no one else has. And look, we're seeing two very different types of buyers. One set of buyers is like a crypto native person who's owned Bitcoin for years. They, as you said, they might think the dollar is debasing itself and will be worth less in the future. You know, they buy a policy, I think, because they want for their kids or their husband or wife to have this policy that they see as sort of a more durable store of value. And then, you know, we have a bunch of users who are more like family offices, or they come through investment advisors, and they want to own 5, 10, 15, 20 Bitcoin, but they are going to have no need to liquidate that in the immediate term. So they look at our product and say, this is the product they already understand. You know, people frequently have a ton of life insurance I had a user recently I talked to, he has like tens of millions of dollars in whole life coverage. He doesn't have any in Bitcoin, obviously. So he thought about, okay, I want to have a certain amount of my exposure, my whole life exposure in Bitcoin. And then conversely, you know, I want to hold some Bitcoin, so I might as well do it in this structure that provides, you know, protection and tax advantages.
You've made a very, very good point there. And I just want to highlight that. This is, again, this is a strategy, a life insurance strategy. So what I usually caution people on, that this isn't the reason why I'm sharing this and we're having this conversation, is to bring a unique strategy. And the strategy has been around, like you said, since the 1830s, same thing, but it's with a different twist, right? So with any strategy and with any vehicle that you use, if you want to make a decision and look at things, here's some of the things that I do. I'd say, what is this? Well, okay, it's a whole life policy that's been around since the 1830s, but this is denominated in Bitcoin. Obviously, Bitcoin came out of the great financial crisis in 2009, and we've done many, many episodes on exactly what Bitcoin is, why it's a store of value, why people have bought and held Bitcoin, why institutions are getting into it, and so forth. A limited supply, store of value, and a great mechanism to transfer a large amount of capital from one person or party to another person or party, right? So that's Bitcoin. And we've got the whole life insurance that's been around, like you said, 1830. So that's what it is. And then the second question is, what is it supposed to do? Now, we have mentioned a lot of things that it does from a strategy. So why would people... and families and family offices which are huge buyers of permanent life insurance. Same thing as banks and corporations. Why do they what do they want it to do for them? Well, it's a life insurance product, not sexy, not exotic. It's a life insurance product. It's there to fund the policy, build up capital, warehouse capital, tax efficiently, and then there's strategies around that. And of course, it's got a death benefit because it's a life insurance policy, which then pays out. So it's a great way for risk management. And then also, there's great tax strategy around this. Talk to your tax, your CPA and your tax strategist about this, and so forth. So that's what it's supposed to do. And then you have to ask yourself the third question, which is the really, really crucial question. What is it supposed to do for you and your family? And that ties into what Zach just said, which is very, very important. This isn't something like if you are high net worth and ultra high net worth, this is probably something that you should at least take a look at or consider or deep dive into it and see if that's a fit for you and your family. If it's just if this is just something that you think is cute or sexy or great cocktail party conversation, this isn't for you. So I just wanted to preface that too, because I know we have people that listen to us that get very excited about stuff, especially new things. It's there's nothing exquisite about this or sexy or and so forth. It's a strategy that we're sharing. So I wanted to share that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think I think we're very fortunate that, the Bitcoin ETF got approved. They, have been the most successful, I think on net inflows, collectively all the the most successful ETF launch in history. So many people are thinking now about Bitcoin. And, we've been working on this for almost 2.5 years now, exactly on all the lines you talked about, MC. So this isn't it's a product for people who want to have some Bitcoin exposure, but in the really long term. And go all the way back to your comment about volatility. What I like to say is you should stop thinking about the price of Bitcoin today, tomorrow, this week, this month, even this year. And if you take a step back and you say, what has Bitcoin done for every 3, 5, 7 year period over the last 15 years, it's been worth more. And I think it's now overcome with the ETF and just the size of the market. I think some of the questions about whether it will exist, it's not going to zero. And I think that means that over time, it's going to represent a significant asset that people are going to want exposure to. And if you're going to if you're going to choose to have that exposure, we think that you should have the choice to have that exposure and all the same options and opportunities that that you have in dollars and other assets. So that's why we created this company, and everything you've just said, it's not perfect for everyone, but for someone who wants long-term Bitcoin exposure for themselves, for their family, with some good tax advantages, I think it can make a lot of sense.
How do you achieve clarity, certainty, and predictability in a world economy and markets that are volatile and chaotic? How do you have confidence in an environment where change and disruption is constant? Setting up infinite banking is how you establish certainty in an uncertain world, predictability in an unpredictable world. With an infinite banking policy, you have your capital warehoused outside of the Wall Street casino, where it is guaranteed never to go down in value, and guaranteed to grow tax-free. You have guaranteed access to your capital, and you also will be able to access your capital tax-free to use to capitalize on opportunities as you come across them. Creating your own banking system with infinite banking can be your secret weapon to protect and grow wealth during turbulent times. You can watch a presentation and explore infinite banking options for you and your family at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. I also just wanted to touch on some of the risks, right? And maybe you can share some more about the risks that involved. I'll just share one right here that people have to think about. Now, you're going to get two groups of people listening to this. The first group of people have significant amount of Bitcoin holdings. So they have Bitcoins. So they would say, and I'm just using this as an example, okay, we can put about a Bitcoin a year in for 10 years, or we can even put it in, you know, the premium deposit account. I believe you refer to it as something different, the prepayment, right? Premium prepayment account.
Prefunding, yeah.
Prefunding, yeah. So different. Yeah. In the under Bermuda regulation. So they could put it into that account and it could fund the policy over 10 years, or they could just send in the payment over 10 years. That's not a problem because they have the holdings. Now, for the average person, which I would fit into the second group of people, and let's just say they have some Bitcoin, but then they, you know, they're very, very excited and they sign up for a policy. But now, again, if you're operating on the Bitcoin standard, as Zach has said, it's very simple. You just transfer the Bitcoin in there. But if you are trying to convert fiat then into Bitcoin and pay a policy, the risk is that potential probability, again, we're not soothsayers. We're not, you know, there's no tarot cards here, but the probability in the future.
If I knew what the price of Bitcoin was going to be in 6 months, I'd be in a different business. Yeah.
Exactly. But the probability is very, very high, very likely that it's going to be much higher in the future than it is today. Again, we don't know. Nobody knows. But that's the probability. That's the risk if you're trying to convert fiat then into Bitcoin into funding it. So you should think about that and try to mitigate risk or figure out how you would mitigate risk if you are in that second group of people. Now, that's just something right off the top that I was thinking about. What are some of the other risks?
And I should say, people think about that. Yeah. Well, on that risk, I should say, I have people who think about it different ways. You're absolutely right that if you, let's say you have a one Bitcoin policy per year for 10 years, ultimately 10 Bitcoin, you know, you go on the Coinbase, you buy a Bitcoin a day for $60,000, you pay your premium. In a year, you don't know what that's going to cost in dollar terms. You know, it could be 60,000, could be 120,000, could be 15,000. I think that we do definitely have some users. That's a concern. On the other hand, I think it's also a dollar cost averaging. If you said, I want to buy 10 Bitcoin over the next 10 years, for better or worse, this would be a way to require yourself to do that and put it in the policy. But again, we have other people who have no Bitcoin exposure and they want to buy a 10 Bitcoin policy. They just go buy 10 Bitcoin today. They think it's going to be worth more in the future. And then they do it. They fund the whole account now. There are a bunch of risks and we work to mitigate those risks. I think if you're a long time person in Bitcoin, I think you're very wary about sending your Bitcoin to anyone else. You know, that has had a mixed track record throughout history. So we hold Bitcoin on behalf of our users. We work to get a small yield on that Bitcoin. We've had a lot of success with that over the last, 2.5 years. We've never had any credit losses. We have been very careful stewards of capital, and I think we've mitigated that risk as best we can. But it's certainly just historically in crypto. It has been a risk. I do want to point out that we're a fully fledged life insurance company. You know, I have a regulator who I'm talking to regularly. I have an independent board. We have to have an enterprise risk management framework. We have policies, procedures, all that stuff. You know, I feel like I have to say this, for example, you know, we have a strict segregation for accounting purposes between customer funds and our funds. You know, these are things that companies in crypto haven't had a lot of success on. You know, even though meanwhile, I think we're building for the long term. There's another risk, which I think it's important to mention is, you know, to be life insurance in the United States, as we've talked about, you have to have a certain amount of yield implicit in the policy. So that is, you know, you pay in 10, we promise you 15. I think that you know, it is uncertain whether debt capital markets will exist for the long term in Bitcoin. And, you know, it's really just unknown right now. So just to be completely candid, we have a clause in our policy that allows us to return everyone the money they paid in if in the first 10 years we're seeing that we can't in a good conscience get the risk adjusted returns we need to make the policy work. And the reason we do that is exactly because, like, we've recognized that as a risk to the company, a risk to our users. Like, not that we are going to have a catastrophic event and lose anyone's money, but just that, like, there won't be the ability to turn Bitcoin into more Bitcoin. We want to have that protection for our users. Because fundamentally, and I think this is in contrast to a lot of, you know, historic crypto companies, like, we want to build an institution that does last for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And from our perspective, the only way to do that is to put our policyholders first. And candidly, that's one of the reasons we have this simple product design, because it's easy to understand, because it is clearly valuable to our users. I think that sometimes insurance companies, you end up like, oh, you know, we're indexed to this, and there's this principal protection, and there's this, and there's that. There are all these bells and whistles. There's seven riders. It's like, and it's very confusing. And I think we really strive to say, no, doing this in Bitcoin allows us the opportunity to really start over it and do things right. Anyway, that was a long meandering answer. Like, there are risks, but I think we have worked diligently to address every single one of them.
No, that's great. No, I appreciate that. My philosophy has always been, if you can't poke holes in something, you don't understand it, right? And you have to understand, yes, this is a strategy, this is the vehicle, this is what I'm doing, and this is why I'm doing it, and these are the benefits. But on the flip side, here's the risks. So they exist. What do we do to mitigate that? And what does the company or the organization that's making the promises, what are they doing to mitigate that too? So I appreciate you sharing that. And to your point, you know, I think being in the insurance space myself with my company Producers Wealth, one of the reasons I think that the industry that's ripe for transformation is because it's so complex. And I think you can make the argument probably for every single system currently on the planet that things are so complicated. That the average person, or even like very sophisticated investors, they're like, I don't even understand what's going on here, because there's just so many things and riders and this and that.
Yeah.
So I think keeping things simple makes it very, very user-friendly and easily understandable. Because, I mean, like you mentioned, it's been around so long, and at its origins, you know, a whole life product with a life insurance carrier used to be a pretty, pretty straightforward and simple vehicle to understand, right?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And again, I think crypto at its best, that's what it does, is it allows us to analyze our assumptions, particularly around financial services, and to try to build things that are new and you know, genuinely hopefully better, not just new. And you know, for us, we see Bitcoin as I've said, this durable, long-term, important store of value, and we think that that's true for our users. And you know, we want to design simple, comprehensible products for them to sort of capture and reap the benefits of that value.
Are you ready to ride the wave of success in the booming car wash industry? Tommy's Express Car Wash is the cutting-edge brand that is revolutionizing the way we clean vehicles. Demand for top-notch, state-of-the-art tunnel car wash is skyrocketing. Institutions are diving in headfirst, and the real asset investor is already a step ahead. They have a world-class operations team, and they're building a portfolio of Tommy's Express car washes that's on track to become one of the largest privately owned car wash portfolios in the United States. The margins on a stabilized Tommy's Express car wash are incredible, and accredited investors have the chance to join them on their adventure. Dave Zook, the founder and CEO of The Real Asset Investor, and his team are thrilled to share opportunities like Tommy's Car Wash with accredited investors that boost your cash flow, unlocks massive tax benefits, and get you set up for a lucrative exit just a few years from now. To learn more about the opportunities offered by The Real Asset Investor, you can reach out to them at info@therealassetinvestor.com. That's info@therealassetinvestor.com. What I do appreciate about this specific product that you have designed with your life insurance company too, it's a very conservative just play. There's no huge returns promised here. It's because, like you said, it's you have to, again, everything's related. If you're promising things and you're trying to get bigger returns and stuff in the policy, well, then you have to do other things on the other end for the insurance carrier to invest in. So I appreciate you sharing it, that it's very conservative. And that's what a whole life product is, by the way, you know, for folks that are new to it. It's just, it's just something that's just doing what it's supposed to do. And it just keeps plugging along. It's a savings vehicle, not an investment vehicle. It's just a savings vehicle. And then also it has the life insurance component in it too. I think a lot of people might still have a very bad taste in the crypto world, especially, you know, these massive exaggerated claims that happen in the loss cycle. It's like when that happens, you always have to ask yourself, what are the risks that they're taking on to generate those returns and so forth, right?
Yeah. And look, I think that's absolutely right. You know, we try to actually learn the lessons of, if some of your listeners are aware of, Genesis, of BlockFi, you know, I think from our perspective, they took a lot of undue credit risk, and they also made big promises. Like, we're going to get 7% returns in Bitcoin. And I like to say that the risk-free return of Bitcoin is zero. You know, there are no treasuries. So, we target between 2 and 3% returns. We hit those targets with no credit losses. And I think that that's something that we feel comfortable promising, guaranteeing for the long term. And that's what's important is, you know, as an insurance company, that you, not just that you say something, but that you follow through on it. And we're really conscious that, we're setting the standard. You know, we hope that our company is going to, persist for a really long time. And with that possibility comes the obligation to, you know, try to do things not necessarily the fastest way or the cheapest way, but the right way.
Absolutely. Changing gears here a little bit. I usually ask first-time guests on the show this following question, because we talk about business, we talk about investing, we talk about wealth management and strategy and so forth, but we also talk about leaving a legacy. And it's the intangibles that, you know, I've seen in family offices that's really what moves the needle in the life of a family. So if you cannot pass on any capital or bitcoins or money to future generations, but you're only allowed to pass on three principles or values to them in order to set them up for a successful life and to help them build wealth, what would they be?
Well, I do want to state categorically to start that I have put both my co-partner and I have put all of our Bitcoin in life insurance policies. We are eating the meals that we serve. So that is important, and it is important for the generations. So I have a 6-year-old and an almost 3-year-old. So I really think about this question a lot. And I think the thing that my wife and I really, the things that we really think about, one is, we think a lot about like a love of learning and a curiosity. I think for so many kids, it's a, you can just get in the motions. So we really try to pay attention to like the things they care about and how we can, how we can be responsive to that and deliver that to them. I think the second is, a perseverance. There's this thing that, when our kids do a good job on something, we try to make sure we never say oh, you're so smart, or that was so smart. We try to say, oh, you must have worked so hard. Because I think that's the important skill, is to, know that no matter how hard something is, that you can like get through it if you work hard. And then the third, I think it'd be, I really wish for my children that they can have the like interest or passion for like building things and entrepreneurship that I have. I haven't quite figured out how to necessarily deliver that as a principal. But I think that's important. It's going to be increasingly important in a world where, there's a lot more artificial intelligence. There's a lot more people in the world. I think being able to like think and create new things is one of the most valuable skills.
Zach, where can people follow you? Where can they stay involved with all of the things that you're involved with?
Yeah. So our website is meanwhile.bm. Meanwhile.com redirects there to meanwhile.bm. BM is Bermuda's top level domain. So we're meanwhile, meanwhile.bm. I'm on Twitter at Z Townsend. And if people want to get in touch, I think the website is a great way. It gives you some overview on the policy. You can start up an application there. And, it's important to note that we jump on the phone with every single one of our users. I think that this podcast is an example of how there's a lot of details. And although Whole Life is like the simplest and oldest of insurance products in some ways, that doesn't mean that there aren't questions. So we really try to talk to every single one of the people who, begin the process and apply on the website, and really make sure they're comfortable with the policy before they become policyholder. So that's the best way to get in touch. Meanwhile.pm.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for all of my listeners and my viewers. It's been a blast having you on.
Thanks so much, MC.
Thank you to all of my listeners and viewers for again spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. Books, podcasts, webinars, and you can sign up for the best weekly newsletter in the alternative wealth strategy and alternative asset investment space, the Wealth Dojo. Until next time, live infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.